Well, I'm not sure anybody had a voice good enough, or maybe some would think worthy enough of a special music, but we do need to pray for each other. We're going to take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 68. Psalms 68. I was able to open the first update that Manuel has sent me for about 6 months. So I'll read that to you here in just a little bit during the offering time. And I did also was able to talk with him last night. Things are going well. So continue to pray for him as well as each of our missionaries in prayer. Psalm 68, verse 11. Psalm 68, verse 11. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it." And as I read that verse and was thinking about just what God would have preached this morning, you think about this, that God gave his word, but where is the company? Where is the great company that once published it now? Where are they? And that word company, it gives you a military idea. So we're not talking about a company like a newspaper factory or a computer company, but we're talking about an army. Where is the army? At the same token, we can remember in the Word of God how Elijah thought he was the only one. And God had to kind of rebuke him and say, "You know what, Elijah? There's still 7,000. There's still 7,000 right around here, Elijah, that haven't bowed the knee, haven't given in to Jezebel and so many other things." But let's think about this morning a little bit. God gave the word, but where is the company, or if you will, the army? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for your word, and thank you for your patience, and so much love and grace and mercy, Father. We are an unworthy people, but we are a thankful people. And Father, we pray for the many who are out from us this morning that are sick. I pray for our pastor that you would give him strength and healing, and for Uncle Jim and so many of our family members, Lord, are out. Some are here and battling other types of illness. I just pray that you would help their bodies, heal their bodies, give strength and grace to those that are helping them and administering medications and so forth. Be with Brother Miller this morning. There's so many. So God, just meet our needs as only you can. Speak to us through your word as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would dare say, and we talk about how that it is a miracle that each time a person gets saved, but I would have to say that one of the greatest miracles was that of God giving us his word so that we could even understand how to be saved. And as you think of that with me this morning, Matthew, our Matthew, has a mind to go forward with math. He loves math, but at the same time, that gets him hung up on some things, like eternity. How in the world can you fathom eternity? Where do the numbers end? And he'll come to us many times and say, "That it just bothers me. I can't figure this out." And my answer is, "Matthew, forget about it. You can't understand it, so don't even worry about it." And Julie, she has more of a tender, approach to the situation. And I'm like, "You're wasting your time explaining it, because there's no way to explain it until we get there and have lived it, and it is still going to keep going on." And so, you know, we can't really grasp that infinite idea. We can see a ring, but can we grasp the idea that it never ends? As if you were running a marathon and had to get to the end of the ring, when would you ever get there? Well, in that aspect, we're talking about an infinite God who puts in perspective to a finite man his complete word. That is an amazing thing for us to think about. How that of all the information that is out there, why didn't he give us information about how the atmosphere is around Pluto? Or why didn't he give us information about what the sun is actually made of and what's in the center of that thing and the degrees and its dimensions and how far the flames shoot out? Why didn't he give us that type of information? All of the information that's out there, all the knowledge that's out there, he summed it up into one book. one concise book and yet so pat jam filled with wonderful truths, deep truths. Some are simple truths. And at the same token, he gave us the code to decipher it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He gave that to us at the moment of salvation, but it's an amazing thing to think about. Go with me, if you will, to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 45. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 45. The Bible says here, but I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. And you can see this, not these exact words, but this idea taking place time after time after time in the Scriptures. Why would that be so? Because we as human beings, we fail. We fall into sin, and some people wallow in it in a while, and some people quickly repent and or confess and forsake it. But here we see after the flood, at this time, many times God had to do this with the children of Israel. If you look down through just history, you can see how this has taken place. And even with our own country, with the Great Awakening and the revivals that we've seen down through the centuries, how God has remembered his words and given that breath of grace again and the blessing, because the people have a desire momentarily, if you will, to seek him. And he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And what a great blessing and a privilege that is. But God gave his word and he remembers it. He gave his word and he remembers it. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. The Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which is in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And you'll see so many times verses like this one, recalling what was written in the Old Testament. Or Peter remembers or mentions about what Paul wrote. And how important the Scriptures are to us. And how important it was to them, because our great God, the infinite God, gave us a book that our finite minds can comprehend. What a miracle. What a blessing. I am sure that every parent, and maybe some of the older, the teens or whatever, has had the responsibility or the opportunity, however which way you want to look at that, to explain something to someone else, whether I can remember, and at Beth Haven, I was called upon to tutor another fella in algebra. And I understood it fine. I got A minuses pretty much through the whole thing. It was not a problem. But this person, it was like beating my head against a wall so that something would bounce off that wall and hit him enough so he would understand it. And it just didn't work. His dad was one of the teachers. And his dad got frustrated and asked me to help him. And I'm telling you something, when you explain one thing so many times, there's just not another way to explain it. And so I said, you're just going to have to figure it out on your own. And that didn't work either, but I'm sure you've been there. You understand with me what I'm trying to say, that there's these opportunities to explain, to express, to share things, but this other person is just looking at you with this dumbfounded look, this look of lack of intelligence. You know, it's so hard to get beyond those glassy eyes. It's like nothing's processing anything behind there. They still see the thing upside down. And folks, our God, so great, he made something so complicated, simple enough for us to understand. And a question for us, and I'm not looking for answers, but this question is, how many of us cherish that thought enough to read the Word of God each day last year. And I know there's sickness, and I know that sometimes there's trips. I don't expect Uncle Jim to be reading his Bible at the wheel of the semi. You know, I understand there's certain situations there, but do we cherish the Word of God enough, understanding this great miracle that took place, that God would take the time and take the effort to teach us ignorant people the truths, the love, the mercy, the patience that is in this book? Do we understand that concept? Him being the creator, I would dare say that if we had the opportunity to invent something and we thought that this invention would help each of our lives, we would go to whatever extremes it took to explain it and show it and share it with people, even let them borrow it so they would catch or grasp the value of this object. At one of our Christmases, Julie's sister Sarah was telling us that, well, she's expecting now, and she's all excited, but she told her husband, John, if you want me to stay skinny, you're going to have to buy me a treadmill. And so, sure enough, he bought her a treadmill before Christmas. Guess he found one on sale. And she said she was just so busy with life and work and everything that she didn't take time to think about what he really needed. But he took time to think about what he needed, and so he bought himself a snowblower to kind of get even up the odds a little bit. And so, you know, down through the years, there's these inventions that make our lives so much easier. You know, getting on that treadmill instead of going outside and blowing that snow instead of shoveling it. And so someone is making a lot of money because of their inventions, and they're excited about that. But here we have something that is way more useful than a snowblower. A snowblower you can only use about 2 or 3 months a year. And some years it's not even worth it. It's kind of like getting a snowmobile. And yet this book here, these 66 books, if you will, are so powerful and so useful each and every day of our lives, where we're talking about dealing with children, whether we're talking about preparing a garden, whether we're talking about the type of work, climate, so many things. And yet it's probably one of the most ignored pieces of information. It's interesting, when I go to the honor camp the last couple of times, some of the guys have been telling me about the acronym somebody taught them, and I don't know if it was one of you fellas or if someone else, but they said, yeah, this person came in and was telling us about how that the Bible is basic instruction before leaving Earth. And they're like, have you ever heard of that? And I'm like, yeah, that's been around a few times. But they were excited to find that fact and how simple it is to realize the importance of the Bible. It's just basic instruction before leaving Earth. And, you know, maybe it was three weeks ago tomorrow, I called up the honor camp. We hadn't had any guys for a while, and I said, you know, is there going to be anyone tonight? And they said, yeah, as a matter of fact, you've got 5 signed up. And I said, all right, well, I'll be there in just a little bit then. And so I got my things around and got there and ended up having 9 people out in the gym where we do the Bible study. But you know something? Only about 5 of them wanted to be there. Only the ones who signed up really wanted to be there. Those were the guys that were excited enough to ask questions and to be involved. And the other 4 were just kind of there because there was nothing else to do. And I'm thankful for those 5. But of those 5, there's only 1 that's left there now. And being, you know, going there back on Mondays, he's got another guy to come. And so there was 2 last Monday. I'm kind of expecting 2 more to be there tomorrow night. And you know what? This one fellow just seems to be filled with not an excitement, but an interest. He told me that a week and a half ago now, he actually asked Jesus Christ to save him. And so that was a blessing that he would tell me that. That's kind of a first sign of someone being saved. They have this desire to share it with somebody. You know, you can't just keep those things bottled inside. It's like poor Philip right now. Philip, he's a little boy and he's a tough boy, but he's got this thing real bad. He's constantly with about 102 fever, and he's got a bad deep cough with lots of phlegm. And to top it all off, him and Caleb were on a chair, and Caleb, I can't remember if he jumped off or jumped on, but it threw him off and he hit his lip on the end table, and now he's got a big gash on the inside. So he has this huge fat lip, and trying to cough out these phlegms and his runny nose. You just look at him and you can't help but feel sorry for the kid. But Philip needs to get out that phlegm. And it's like this morning, Julie and I were talking, it's almost like we want to cough for him to get that stuff out. And we say, Philip, can you get it out? And he says, yeah, I can get it out, but then it just doesn't come. But you know, so many people, you have to like force it out of them. Yeah, I'm saved. But then you have to wonder, because you had to work so hard and just say the right words so that they gave you the answer whether or not they're truly saved. But yet here in the Word of God, no one had to force God and pull it out of him the truths that are found here so that we could have the assurance of salvation and being in God's will and choosing the right mate and so many things. What a blessing that is. And I just thought at the beginning of this year, we need to be reminded of some of these things so that we can go forward. He communicated his plan for this earth. Julie asked the kids on December 31st, it was getting close to midnight, and she said, do you have any plans? I think she used the word goals. Do you have any goals this year? She asked John, and she asked Matthew, and she asked Elizabeth, and each of them had an answer, but one of them said, but I don't know. I don't know if I have any goals. But see, God had goals in mind when he was writing this. And, you know, it's not like we need to set a New Year's resolution because probably those that did set one have already broken it or on their way to breaking it. But this is different, having a goal. A goal isn't that you're going to perfectly reach it, but it's something to reach for and to go forward with. God had goals when he wrote his word, and we find in 1 Timothy that is so that his people, you know, his creation could be saved. Do we have goals? He had purpose. Please go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. One of the goals of God was to confound the wise. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Go with me, if you will, to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8, verse 2. You know, if you had if we were all outside and it was a sunny day and about 70 degrees and, we were going to play softball and we had maybe Brother Steve and Brother Randy, they were the captains and they were going to start choosing people, I doubt that they're going to start picking Philip and Caleb and Ethan as the most valuable people for their teams. But that, in a sense, is what God is saying here. Psalms chapter 8, verse 2, the Bible says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. You remember Gideon? Gideon thought he did not have enough manpower. And God said, Gideon, you have too much. I can't even do anything with these people because there's too many. See, the purpose in our lives, one of the goals for writing the scripture was to humble us enough to understand that it's not us. It is God that must work through us so that something can be accomplished. It's just like I said years ago, one of the first times I had to install a pocket door, I didn't care about the instructions. I had seen it done. I had helped others put one in. I just left those instructions in the box, and I started ripping into that thing. Before I knew it, I had cut the metal track too short, had to do a lot of shimming, and it was just a mess because I didn't take the instructions seriously. And folks, that's what the Word of God is. Like that prisoner was telling me here a couple weeks ago, basic instruction before leaving earth. It's just the basics. And here, though, the mouth of babes and sucklings has ordained the strength because they know that in and of themselves, they can do nothing. When Philip and Caleb have to use the restroom, they say, Mom, Dad, because they know they need help. They know they do. And I wonder if when we wake up before we get out of that bed, we cry out. And so it's just a simple truth, and yet it's so, so large, so huge to comprehend. Go with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. A profound prayer of Christ himself. It says in Matthew 11:25, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." Why in the world would he have hid these things from the prudent and the wise? The people that were already educated, adding information to them, wouldn't that have pushed forward this movement of Bible teaching and Bible training? Because these people are already intelligent, they're already wise in a certain facet, why not give it to them? I believe it would have turned out much like in the days of slavery in our country and in many other places where you have different levels of society. And that upper level, and if you study in England, that upper level of people that had all the education, they did not want to hire slaves that could read. They wanted them as ignorant as possible and to stay that way. In our country, it was illegal to teach the black children how to read. It was illegal. And so as I read this verse yesterday and as I thought about that truth, it kind of dawned on me why God would hide the truths of his word from these wise so-called people and these so-called worldly prudent people. It's because they were not going to share it anyway. It was the poor, it was the humble people that wanted to share these truths because they were excited about the information. For somebody that already has so much information, it's just another paper in the file. But to someone who doesn't have much, it's exciting. It's something that others should know about. It's like you read about people like Harriet Tubman. And when she found out that there was this Underground Railroad, she went for it. And when she realized all the routes, she went back to help others find these routes. And that's what the Word of God can be to us. Something that will excite us so that we will go out there and show these people how they can come to God, how they can please God, how they can live for God. That's what it can do for us. And that's why I believe that God caused these things to be hidden from the wise and prudent because they would have never shared it. It's like, Bill Gates, Mr. DeVos here in Grand Rapids, if they were truly concerned about society, they probably wouldn't have $5 billion in their bank accounts. My sister-in-law, Sarah, she was called upon. Well, that's a long story, but long story short, she's now taking care of the fingernails of Mrs. DeVos and Mr. DeVos. And she gets paid quite a sum to do this every couple weeks. And Mr. DeVos asked Sarah a couple weeks ago, he said, do you understand what $1 billion is? And Sarah says, oh yeah. And he goes, no, for real, do you understand what $1 billion was? And she's like, well, then she's like, well, I think so. And he said, well, see, I didn't. He said, people were saying that I was a billionaire. He said, so I had to figure out what that exactly meant and how much it took to actually get there. He said, it's pretty hard to comprehend. Here's this elderly gentleman telling a mid-20s girl all about $1 billion. And folks, we have something so much more precious than $1 billion. But those rich men, and they're charitable, I'm not saying that they aren't, but if their money really didn't mean much to them, if they realized how important the Word of God was, how much needs there are in other places, they would live on an income like you and I do and just give what they have away, so to speak. But they keep it in this nest. They'll never be able to spend it. Mr. DeVos is so old right now, he'll never spend the money that he has today. Never. God did not want us to hoard his word without giving it out. There is a vast treasure here that needs to be given and shared and explained as many times as possible. That's what this purpose is. That was one of the goals when God had his word written. that it would confound the wise, but it would give strength to the humble. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1, a verse that you have by memory, I'm sure. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The very first phrase there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. God wants his people to have knowledge, but this knowledge through him. Go with me, if you will, to Psalms 111. Psalms 111. Psalms 111, verse 10. The Bible says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So it was God's goal that we would get knowledge and that we would get wisdom from his word. Now, you parents, you think about this for a second. Anybody that's not a parent's not going to comprehend this. But teaching things in such a way so that your children understand them and then keep them as instruments to teach to their children one day. Because frankly, there is a lot of young people that will tell you today, I'm not going to do things like my parents did. A lot of them. It is phenomenal. I probably none of us have our families today as our parents did. And I'm not saying to be a copycat family, but I'm talking about teaching instruments. One day I was listening to the radio, and it was a talk show, and they were talking about discipline. And they wanted people to call in of discipline tactics that worked. Well, this one man called in and said, when my dad found out that I had lied or stole, I forget the scenario, he took me up into the attic with my brothers and wanted us to confess it. See, Dad knew about it, but he wanted the boys to confess it. And so, you know, he's talking about the story in these commentators saying, well, what did he do? What did he do? What was so useful? He said he took off his belt and he put it around my neck and held me up like this. I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound like a good tactic. He said, well, it worked because I said it real quick what I did. God doesn't use crazy things to teach us powerful truths. He doesn't expect us to get to a moment on the torture table before we confess that we believe in him and trust in him and want to obey him. He's very kind and patient and loving, strong, just, true. But he expects us as his believers to take this and use it. Another reason for writing the scriptures. You know, it's one thing, too, about how that our pastor, my father, ever since the beginning, has always wanted to give things away. And early on, in our family devotions, I remember him talking about this, about how that God gave his word freely. He didn't say, Moses, would you like to write the scripture? Well, it'll cost you about $2,000 investment, and then we'll give you so many minutes with the Holy Spirit so that you can write the word of God. But go with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. There were no franchises or profit sharing or any of these kind of things with the word of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, the Bible says here, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. One ironic thing that is taking place in a powerful way in Mexico for the wrong is a Brazilian church down there is having many meetings with people coming in doing healings, and it's not that so much that has success, but it's the prayer time. They have men that take up offerings at the door before people even can come in. And I say offering because that's what they say, but it's actually an entrance fee. And so you have to pay to get in, but what that money does for you is it allows your prayer request to go all the way over to Israel, to Jerusalem, so that they pray for it there at the temple in Jerusalem. And I'm telling you what, Mexicans by the droves are going to that church so that their prayer request can be heard by God in Jerusalem, paying a minimum of 100 pesos for us to be like about $9, a minimum. And they encourage people to give 50 and $100, of course. Why wouldn't you encourage that, right? Well, the Bible says you were given it freely, give it out freely. Go with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Romans 3, 24. The Bible says you're being justified freely by His grace, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans 8, verse 32. It says here, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And there are more references that deal with this fact of freely. And so God freely gave us His word for our benefit. But now the question, where is the company? Where is the army? Where are the people that are willing to take up this word in their arms and use it as their arms and go forward with it? Famous passages of scripture that we know well in 2 John chapter 2. In 2 John chapter 2. 2 John chapter 2. No, I'm sorry. There's no chapter 2 in 2 John. What am I thinking? It's 1 John, sorry. Speaking without reading what I have written down here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, 15. You've been looking a long time for 2 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Have you ever saved up a little bank account? You know, for Christmas, John and Matthew were given a little cash register kind of a thing. A bank account. Well, I guess it was supposed to mimic an ATM machine. It had a little plastic card. You put it in it. You put in your code, and then you could take money out of it, or you could also crank little dollar bills and push coins in there, and it was supposed to remember. It didn't remember very good because it only gave you 10 cents on the machine for every quarter that you put in it. So somewhere, the math wasn't quite right. But you save up this money, and all of a sudden, it's gone. Completely gone. I remember as a young boy saving up for a BB gun and saving up for a hatchet, and it seemed like I bought the things and then I had no more money, and I was thinking afterwards, this is all I got with this money? Not very much. And that's the way it is with anything physical in this world. We can work hard and save it up in just a few minutes, it's gone. There's people every day come in the hardware store looking for shear bolts for their snowblowers. Brand new snowblowers already broke a bolt. Already. These $700 and $800 and $1,200 snow machines, and they're already broken. How brittle things are in this world. And so that's why here we see John writing not to love the world, not to have goals set up so that we can gain and grow in the stocks and go forward in this. And I'm not saying that we should not have a retirement. I'm not saying that at all. But I mean, that be our focus. You know, sometimes you can listen to Dave Ramsey so much that you forget about the Word of God and you think, oh, I've got to have this 6 months saved up and I got to have this all taken care of. Well, it's a wise thing to do maybe if God allows you to do that. Amen? We got to keep in focus that God has something special for us to do. And we need to be part of this army as a whole going forth with the Word of God, not spreading out in all different directions saying, well, I want to do it this way. Well, I want to do it that way. And I was encouraged this morning when Dad called me up. Well, he actually called me on Friday or Saturday, told me his throat wasn't doing too well to be prepared. Or maybe it was Mom. I can't remember. But at any rate, so this morning I got the call, and I actually had been all prepared since yesterday afternoon. And Dad wasn't going to be able to come. And the dad had talked to different ones already about doing certain things. And then I called some other ones about doing some other things. And everybody said, oh, sure, no problem. I didn't hear anybody saying, oh, man, why didn't he call so-and-so? Man, what do I have to do that for? You know, it's not like I called up anybody and say, will you make sure the toilets are clean? Everybody was ready to jump to the task and do it with a merry heart. And that is a blessing. It is a great blessing. And God has given us something special here that we have several men, almost all our men could just jump up here at a moment's notice and give a lesson. Simple, long, short, however, give a lesson and take care of it, whether it be for Sunday school or preaching or lead songs. You might be able, not be able to carry a tune, but it doesn't matter. It's just waving that hand just right, amen? And you're going forward with those songs. So we have a company, a little company, a little army here. And I'll have to tell you, and this isn't to fill anybody up with pride, but bragging a little bit. It's exciting for me to be able to go out and explain to other pastors the printing ministry here. You know, almost every pastor always asks, well, how many people attend your dad's church? That's how they all start out. And I say, well, you know, we're just a few. But let me tell you about the printing ministry. And it's free. And you go to explain it, and they can't comprehend it. So many cannot comprehend it. I was talking to a fellow I've known for several years. He's never been here to church, but he knows about the church. And he said, I never knew. He said, I never knew that you have such a website like that you do and that your literature is going out around the world. He said, I never knew it. Well, praise God that everybody doesn't know about it, but that there are a lot of people that do. Amen. And that we can be a blessing, this little tiny army here. It's like a little army. Everybody's got their job out there. Some collate, some are proofing, some are stapling, some are putting in the box, some take them over here, some are packing the orders, and some take them to the post office. And it's like everybody has their job. There's still room for more, by the way, guys. Don't get so stuck over here at the sound booth, amen. Let's get over there and do some more. There's a blessing there. And, you know, I've seen even some of the elderly folks over there collating some of the smaller ones. It's a blessing. But as in the days of Elijah when he was discouraged, sometimes when you are at your job or in your home, you can get discouraged about, is anybody praying for me? I know this week has been a tough one on me. You go to bed late because you've been doctoring kids and giving them medicine, and I set my alarm for at 1:30 and 5:30 to dish out more medicine, and you hear that coughing and wondering if they're going to get through it, or if they're going to choke, and you have to smack them on the back. You know, all these things. It's been a rough week. But even then, I knew that there was people praying. And even in those tough times, I remembered this week several times, so many other families have had it a lot tougher. Some of theirs have died because of swine flu or in olden days, you know, years gone by from consumption and polio and so many things. And we still have it so good. But there are frustrating times, there's discouraging times with some of you men and your job situations. You're like, why can't things be going better? Well, remember that there's a little company here, a little army that is still praying, amen? Trust that we are all still praying. Well, where is the company that gave out the word like we read in Psalm 68? It might not be a global company. But remember that usually the most famous, heroic groups in any given war, it wasn't the big ones, it was the small ones. Grandpa Verberg, he was part of a 12-man crew, and he was awarded medals for doing some special things that was above and beyond the call of duty, it says in the document. 12 men. You read about the soldier, Sergeant York, and you know, the movie sort of depicts it, but you read about it and how that, sure, he had a small company and did a lot of things, but he himself went beyond that and did some more things himself. And so, folks, remember one thing, that with God, little is much. We don't have to have a huge amount of numbers. We just have to be faithful with him. Little is much when God is in it, so the phrase goes. And just like Gideon had to remember that day, he didn't have to have 30,000. All he had to have was 300. and God did the rest. And so we don't have to have a huge offering, and we don't have to have a huge attendance. We don't have to have a huge amount of missionaries and all of these things that deal with numbers. We just have to be the company that God wants us to be. You know, in the special forces, they don't send over 40,000 special forces to begin with. Some of them are teams of 4 and 6 and 12, and that's a lot. They're little groups with a special task to do. And folks, don't ever get discouraged with the fact that, oh, it's just the same old people every Sunday, every Wednesday night, every Thursday night. Just be part of the company that God has called you to be and go forward with it. And He will bless you as He has blessed so many before you and before me. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 12. Our kids were in a little race there at the Candlestone Inn. And one of our kids kept looking to the side. You know, who's ahead of me? Who's coming up behind me? And I tried to tell him, you know, that's going to make you run slower because you're paying attention to them. And right here, the author of Hebrews helps us remember that. It says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it says in verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about. Okay, there's a lot of things around us. But let's stay focused this year. Let's remember that the company doesn't have to get real big. It's going to be as strong as we are close to God. That's how the strength is going to show. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. And Lord, so many couldn't be with us today. We pray that you would heal them, give them strength, let them be with us soon. Lord, we just thank you for your word and for how that you gave it freely and that there was a great company that spread it out, but it was great because you enabled them. So Father, enable us, give us strength, give us wisdom, allow us to understand how to reach people, how to encourage people, how to strengthen people with your word. And Lord, as we know that sometimes it's waiting, as your word says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. So we understand at times this is important, but God, help us this year to be a people better prepared for you, Lord, a people that are more pleasing as children, better equipped as soldiers, and more willing servants. God, just thank you for those who came out today. I pray that your word would be a blessing to their hearts and lives as it has been to mine. And Lord, may we be refreshed as this is also another week to go back with our families and go forward with them in your will. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.